So, what's up with insulin? You know, people with diabetes need it to stay alive, but in recent years, we've brought you so many stories of young people in particular rationing their insulin because they can't afford it. There was much hue and cry, and the Democrats included a cap on insulin costs, $35 a month, in their recent Inflation Reduction Act, but Republican lawmakers deep-sixed that. The bill, which the House is expected to pass this week, does limit how much people on Medicare have to pay out of pocket for the life-saving medication, but again, no cap for people with private insurance or no insurance. Dr. Jing Luo is an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pittsburgh. He joins us now. And Doctor, we spoke to you back in December. People are finding that story, explaining why insulin does cost so much. And at that time, you were excited for this insulin provision, this cap. What do you think of what ended up happening?
Well, thanks for having me back. It's still, I think it's a huge step forward for the 3.3 million Medicare beneficiaries who use insulin today. But it's a little bit, I guess, disheartening to find out that that copay cap does not apply to people with commercial insurance or the uninsured, because we're still talking about tens of millions of people.
Well, let's get right to it. Do you think, as some Republicans did, that if, in fact, there was a cap, a broader cap, the companies would simply raise premiums?
I think that's a possibility, yeah.
Well, but then that was the thinking of some of those who were against this. Are you saying they might have had a point, that a cap might not have meant anything if the companies could just get their money out of the premiums?
Well, I mean, you could make that argument for any healthcare service.
Yeah.
Why do we pay for maternity services and deliveries? There are people who are against that because they think that men shouldn't have to pay for women to deliver babies, you know, and I think we've moved past that as a society. And we figured that that's probably a legitimate service to pay for using health insurance.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this idea about covering insulin at an affordable rate should be. Do we as a society think that people who use insulin for treatment of their diabetes should be able to afford it, such that it's a covered service that we all pay for using premiums, or do we think it's excluded?
Yeah.
And I think that's the debate that's going on right now.
Well, and I should, full disclosure, some of us are not just you who work in this field, but me, who lives with a diabetic, just a full disclosure. But explain for people who are trying to grasp this, why do diabetics need insulin? This isn't just, I mean, aspirin can be life-saving, but this is different. Why?
Sure. So I think it's like 1 in 10 Americans live with diabetes. And if you look in the Medicare population, those are the slightly older population, it's about 1 in 3. And so it's pretty common. Most of us have a family member or friend who has diabetes. Some of these patients will be fine without insulin because they have other glucose-lowering medications that they can use. But there's a smaller subset of patients, including most notably patients with type 1 diabetes whose pancreases don't make any insulin, which means that they require this hormone for survival. For them, it's like water or air. If they didn't have insulin for a few days, you know, they could go into a diabetic coma and die.
Yeah, they'd die. And this isn't a lifestyle choice. This isn't just eat better. This isn't, as you said, just to reinforce, for many diabetics, there just is no production of insulin from the pancreas. So why is it so expensive? Because we also know the history of insulin, created by wonderful Canadian researchers who won the Nobel Prize for discovering insulin, but then also sold it for $3. You know, they wanted to give it away. They didn't want it to be a money-making possibility. Why is it so expensive now?
Oh, well, so insulin today is largely made by only three large manufacturers. Those are Eli Lilly, Sanofi, and Novo Nordisk. What's been happening in recent years is that they've been increasing their list prices in lockstep with one another. And so without pretty robust generic competition or any form of hard price controls at the federal level, we've seen that the manufacturers have been able to just increase their prices as much as the market will bear.
And do you think, as somebody who observes this so closely, I mean, there's also the argument, and you explained that it's also very difficult to make insulin. It has to be perfectly manufactured. Is this purely, in your view, to make money, that they're raising the prices?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. These are publicly traded companies that have to answer to shareholders who are demanding profits, you know, every quarter. If they were all of a sudden to just say, oh, we're gonna cut our prices by 90%, you know, closer to the cost of production, I don't think their shareholders would be really happy about that. Yeah. And so I think that's part of why we see that happening. And then the other is related to what you've been describing, which is this idea that insulin is a biologic product. It's made in living organisms, and it's something we inject into our skins and into our bodies. And so it needs to be pure, it needs to be free from any contaminants, and we have to make sure that people don't get infections.
Yeah. We've had stories, as I mentioned, young people who've died and their parents discovered that, you know, they were maybe away at school and couldn't afford their insulin. The costs we hear are sometimes $1,000 a month. Can you explain, first of all, why it might get that high? People think, oh, you just get one order of insulin and you're done. Why might it get up to $1,000 a month?
Yeah, that's because the list prices of these products are so high in the U.S. And so if you don't have insurance, let's say you're a younger person and you work for an employer who doesn't provide prescription drug coverage, or you're in between jobs. That's pretty common, too. You know, nowadays, a lot of people are quitting because of the pandemic and getting new jobs. They might be without insurance for a certain part of the year. And for someone with type 1 diabetes who requires insulin every single day, if they don't have the stockpiles to last them until the next employer-sponsored health insurance, which is the predominant way we get insurance in this country, or through Medicaid, for example, they would essentially be having to buy insulin at the list price. And the list price is grossly unaffordable for the vast majority of Americans. And so for some products, we're talking about an excess of $1,000 per vial or for a box of 5 pens.
And people have died.
Yeah. There have been several cases reported of people rationing their insulin because of cost or insurance-related reasons. And that's in large part to why we see so many of these bills that have passed through state legislatures and now through the Congress that is trying to cap out-of-pocket costs for insulin, even for the uninsured. Unfortunately, that didn't really make it into the right version of the bill that was passed by the Senate.
Well, do you think there's another way for those who want to see these prices stabilized, you know, to limit what, I mean, you just described as price gouging now that the bill is moving forward? Is there something else? Could there be an executive action? What else could there be?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a standalone bill looking at insulin out-of-pocket costs. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to go through this budget reconciliation process lumped together with this climate bill that could potentially pass one day. And then the states could also pass legislation on their own, irrespective of what the federal government does. And then in the longer term, you know, we're talking more like, what can we do in terms of using the existing system to lower prices more durably? And then we're thinking more about like trying to get generic competitors and manufacturers to come in and make more less expensive insulin.
Well, there is a generic coming, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been announced, but we'll have to see if it happens. There is a company called Civica that has announced that they will start producing three of the most common insulin products used in the U.S. as early as, 2024.
You know, I asked you for the reasons, and I thought you were going to say, well, you know, it costs so much, and you know, manufacturers are right that they need the money to invest in future. You know, I thought I was going to hear what we hear from a lot of the Republican lawmakers, that government shouldn't be involved in this and it interrupts the marketplace. But no, you said they're raising the prices because they can and they're competing with each other.
Yeah, I mean, the market is horribly distorted to begin with. It's not really a free market the way you think about, you know, going to the farmer's market and buying corn or something. These products are heavily regulated. And the FDA makes a determination about who can commercially sell insulin and who can't. And so to say that it's a free market and we shouldn't get involved is, we're way past that already.
Dr. Jing Luo, assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pittsburgh, on the cost of insulin and what can be done about that now that a universal cap is not in the bill just being pushed through Congress. Doctor, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.